it's important to myself that I be an example, not just giving a word or an encouragement, but trying to lead by example as well.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood. And on the line, I'm very happy to have Bryant Young. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Bryant. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Art. Thanks for having me and excited to be on your show today.
Yeah, man, the feeling is mutual. I'm a big Niners fan, and watching you guys tear up the NFC and, of course, win the Super Bowl back in the day, and, you know, the 90s was fun to watch. We're going to talk about football in a second, but, of course, I love talking fatherhood with everybody. So for you, take me back to when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
Wow, the first time, it was back in, my daughter was born in 99, so maybe that first my wife took a pregnancy test. She was really trying, and she took a home pregnancy test. And, man, I can't remember exactly where I was. She's almost 21 years old now. We were very excited to become one. And then us, you know, being able to have children is a very exciting moment for us in our young marriage. You know, all the tales of being a father, and being able to mentor a kid and raise and love a child, it was pretty exciting for me. So to welcome a new child in the world, there's a huge responsibility, and understanding that, you know, now it's not going to be about me. So there's a child here that we have to take into consideration and be responsible for her was important.
Really appreciate you sharing that, sir. And for you, how did you kind of balance work and family? Everyone has their own different way of doing that, but for you, how did you find that balance? Sometimes people don't even like the term balance of work and family, but for you, how did you kind of manage that?
Sometimes it's a bit challenging just because, you know, when you work has been important and you want to, you know, do things to be able to provide and have an example for your kids to look up to. And sometimes it don't always balance out like you want it to. But when there are times when it's family time, you know, it's all about the family, spending time with my wife and kids and doing things that are meaningful, things that will be remembered for a long time. And so as often as we can, you know, outside of work, we want to try to create as many memories as we can as a family. And so sometimes it's a bit challenging, especially, you know, as a player, it's a lot easier. You know, it's a little bit more flexibility in the schedule. When it came to coaching, it was a little bit more challenging, especially during the season. And so, but in all season, you make up for the lost time and certainly you take advantage of it.
Nice. I appreciate you sharing that. And talk about, of course, people who play in the NFL, they got to have a great work ethic. They got to have determination and grit and all that, just to, you know, make it on the biggest stage, especially in your, you know, in one of your fields. I know that's probably one that your kids can look upon that you have, but what are some of the other values you were looking to instill into them as they were growing up?
Just leaving a legacy of faith. That's been important, you know, to me and my wife, and just making sure that we are providing the foundation that they need from a spiritual standpoint. And so it's important to myself that I be an example, not just giving a word or an encouragement, but trying to lead by example as well. Because a lot of times when kids are young, they hear what you're saying, but the most important thing that they understand and they learn from is they're watching what you do. And so they learn from that. So my examples and how I live life has to marry with what I'm saying. And so it's been important, you know, for us to instill the things in them that will lead them to eternity.
Yeah, I totally agree, because, you know, if you kind of, you can say one thing, but if they don't see you, you know, doing what you're preaching to them, it's like the whole practice of what you preach thing, right?
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. I can remember one time I was sitting in my office, and my daughter, who's 16, she was about 4 at the time, and we had this thing, when you come in the house, you leave your shoes by the door, mm-hmm. And so this one time I go in the house, I leave my shoes on and I go to my office and I just take a plop down and start just kind of, you know, messing around with some mail. And I took my shoes off and they were sitting right by my desk. And then my 4-year-old walks in and she dumps in my lap, and then she like disappears for like 2 minutes. And next thing I know, I look down, she's back in my lap. And there are her shoes right next to mine where I put them in my office. So there goes an example of just, you know, kids see what you do and they learn most from that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks for saying that, Bryant. Of course, I know this is definitely a tough topic to talk about, but I know that other parents unfortunately experience the same pain you have and your wife Kristen has when your son Colby passed away due to a brain tumor. And I can't even begin to imagine the pain that you and your family have experienced. But as a father and trying to be, you know, that rock and being there for the whole family, how did you go through that whole process to making sure you were there for your family, but also make sure that you were doing what you needed to do to process anything? How did you kind of go through that?
You know, it was, my son who passed, he passed away after close to a two and a half year battle with, you know, diagnosis, treatment, then surgery, treatment and a relapse. And, it was a tough battle. He was number two of six and, he passed away at 16. And so it's like when you look at life and you really come to understand how important and critical and precious life is. It's all the things that I've learned through playing sport and mostly football on a professional level, through hard work, sacrifice, and learning how to be gritty and going through tough times. Those are all great lessons that you learn from playing football, and they teach you a lot. But here I am now faced with this mountain of a issue in our life when our son was diagnosed. It took my just fortitude to a whole nother level. And, you know, it was quickly understood that we had to be united as a front, my wife and I and as a family, to get him through it and to stand strong through the whole process. It was tough. But I tell you, our faith was our number one driving force that really got us through. I can't imagine people that are able to go it alone without faith. It was hard with faith.
Yeah.
And so just it kept us, you know, strong. It kept us together. And just understanding that, you know, life is on this earth is not going to be forever. We're just going to be here for just a vapor of a time. And we're going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. So we're assured that our son, you know, after his passing, is in heaven, and we'll see him one day again. But it was a pretty tough experience going through that. Just also watching my younger and older daughter, kids go through this, and then losing a sibling. And I tell you what, it's something that a club you never want to be in, or a fraternity or a sorority you never want to be a part of.
Yeah.
And it's just a tough deal. And so we, as much as we can, we try to remember him and mention his name at every chance we get. So that was one thing that he was always afraid of, when, as he understood that, you know, his life was coming to an end, that we'd forget about him. And we assured him that that wouldn't be the case. So every opportunity that we could, we'd talk about him. And so that's how it's helped us to process and move and live without him here. He's still in our hearts, but he's just not here physically.
Again, I really appreciate you sharing that. I know it's very tough to talk about. The only reason why I kind of ask you that is because here at the Art of Fatherhood, we want to make sure that all dads who have experienced something, the very horrific thing that you've experienced with you and your family, with losing your son, but other dads can kind of understand what you went through, and like, I've been there too, and they can kind of say like, all right, it's not just me. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, I mentioned the values that you're looking to instill, you know, with Kobe. I know that he did the change for change campaign, and he wanted to collect $2,000 for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, but he was placing buckets all over town. This, you know, the high school helped, you know, raise up to $50,000. You and your wife, especially with that difficult time, must have been so proud while he's going through this, but thinking of others. What life lessons did Kobe teach you, especially through that fundraising campaign?
Just his resilience and his contentment and his other-centered point of view. You know, he was a selfless person. And so, you know, I learned a lot, you know, through his whole process. Like at each level of his illness, things were kind of taken away. He used to play football, and he could no longer do that. So basketball became his thing. He dealt with football and moved past it. Then basketball became his thing. When basketball was taken away, you know, he dealt with that. He moved to the next thing. He loved to cook, and he wanted to be a chef. And so he was content, you know, after losing these other things with the next thing and trying to flourish in that. And so he just enjoyed life. He laughed a lot. He just had a big heart. He brought smiles to everybody's face. He was the comedian of the family. And just in terms of, you know, him being able to think about others during his own crises, it was pretty amazing to watch him do that.
Thank you very much for sharing that. One more question about fatherhood before we kind of talk a little football as well. We always have new dads checking out the podcast, you know, just to kind of see what other dads have done and, you know, thought about fatherhood so they can kind of prepare. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads listening to this right now?
Love, love, love. Nice. Love is an action, and it's taking the time, and you have to make sacrifices to spend the time with your kids, with your wife, and you know, it's being intentional and finding ways to create memories and that'll last forever. Because when you're, you know, older and you look back on those years, those are going to be the things that bring you together when you're able to share something in common. So take the time, make the sacrifice, and be intentional about spending time with your kids and your wife and love, and be sacrificial in how you love. So that would be my advice to new dads.
Great piece of advice right there, Brian. Thanks very much for sharing that. And like I mentioned, as a Niner fan, it was great to see you guys play and dominate in the 90s when you especially were there. You were drafted in the first round by the Niners. What was the transition like? Of course, playing from a great and well-known college like Notre Dame to the NFL. Did you feel a lot of pressure being drafted in the first round?
No, I didn't. Not at all. I didn't feel any pressure at all. I you know, for me, it was just, I was having fun.
Nice.
And, you know, I wasn't so overly concerned about even the, when I understood that I had an opportunity to go to the next level and play, I wasn't overly concerned about it. And I was just enjoying the moment and really taking care of what was important at that time. And so to be drafted in the first round by a team that I liked growing up, it was a dream come true. And I didn't feel pressure of performing up to a level that that people expected me. I knew what I was capable of, and I was my own worst critic. So it was just a matter of just going out there and having fun and taking care of business and doing my job that they brought me in to do. And so it was just, you know, the heart of it is, you know, you go out there, have fun, and never forget that. It is a game. It's a business as well, but it's a game, and you have to always improve every day.
No doubt. And of course, we saw, you know, the 49ers and the Chiefs square off in the Super Bowl right now, this past Super Bowl 54. Patrick Mahomes, or young athletes, when they get there, they're like, oh, you know, hopefully you don't have the same Dan Marino experience where you go there, you know, right in your earlier career and you miss out, but you never go back again to win it. You went there your rookie year. You guys won it. So, I mean, talk a little bit about the camaraderie you guys felt that year. I know a lot of players were excited to, of course, win and all that, but what was it like for you when, you know, the confetti's going down? I know it was kind of, again, being a Niners fan, it was kind of a blowout to begin with, but for you, what was like the experience like when the game was finally over and you guys were Super Bowl champions that year?
Well, it was one leading up to the game. There's a lot of fanfare. You got, you know, the time is extended, you know, pregame and then even at halftime. And but it was a surreal moment, you know, to be standing there and hearing the national anthem being sang, and you got all these, you know, extracurricular activities going on, and you're trying not to get caught up in the moment. And then once you get out there, and then it's the game, it's just another game that's on a bigger stage. And so that's what you have to understand. And so for us to play in that, and for me to be a part of that, it was pretty awesome. The game for us, we had a sizable lead, but we also understood that we couldn't take our foot off the gas. And sure, defensively and offensively, special teams-wise, we all did our part. And, you know, it was a special moment, you know, after the game to be a part of that, to be one of many guys who had a role that did their part to help win a championship. It's one I'll remember forever. The confetti coming down and just smiles and the celebratory just moments. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. And of course, you know, just looking at your career and, you know, seeing different interviews you've done, it's all about the team, and I get that. But there was something that you accomplished. You got the comeback player of the year after one of your injuries. Talk about what that meant for you, especially, you know, getting injured. Sometimes people don't come back from certain injuries, but talk a little bit about what that award meant for you and just kind of your work ethic.
You know, it meant a lot. You know, just coming off a really terrible injury, it was, wow, just not knowing the extent of what would have to happen for me to get back on the field. It was a hard road back. And just to heal, to be able to get through the hard parts of the rehab, I had to get to that, over that hurdle first. And so there are times where it seemed like it wasn't going anywhere in my rehab, but I was still a young player and I was still growing, and my body was still, you know, developing. And so I knew I had a really good chance to come back and be able to play at a high level. And so, but I also knew that it was going to take a lot of work. And so I was willing to do that. My love for the game was tested, and I just kept at it and just took it one week at a time. I wasn't able to practice until the first week of the regular season. And so all of that all season, just rehab and then able to run at certain parts of that process. And even when I was able to work out and do some running on the field, I wasn't able to do it consecutive days without having a minor setback with swelling or some inflammation. So it was a tedious process. It was a long journey back. And when I was able to play that first game, boy, it was pretty special. But I was still healing at that moment. And I think throughout that the first year, that first game on, it was, you know, just getting better each week. And even during the season, I wasn't able to practice 4 weeks, and so I just had to manage my time and be smart about how much I loaded. And to be able to do that, and it's just a testament to, you know, God's grace and giving me the tools and the mindset to be able to do that and come back. And but it was a hard road back, and it was a special feeling to be able to come back and play at a high level, and then to achieve the Comeback Player of the Year award. I was pretty excited about that.
Love it, man. Yeah, and again, like being a Niner fan, it was great to see you back on the field. I'll tell you that. My dad and I were like so excited to see you play. So again, thanks for sharing that. And one more question before we got the Fatherhood Quick Five. For you, what do you miss most about your playing days?
Wow. Of course, winning. winning. The practice part was, for me, was work. It was part of the process. I mean, you embraced it. Sometimes it wasn't sexy, but it was part of it. And I don't miss that part too much. Although I relished in it, I don't miss it too much. Yeah. But the biggest thing that I miss is the relationships, the camaraderie in the locker room, and then winning on Sundays. You know, those are some of the things that I miss. The locker room is very special and unique, and, you know, you just enjoy those relationships that you built over the years. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Appreciate you sharing that. Now I got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one?
Favorite family movie? That's a good question. Anything Marvel's.
Nice.
How about that?
Nice. My family and I love those movies too. Nice. I'm taking it you guys got Disney Plus then, because you're going to be coming out with a bunch of different Marvel series, right? So I'm guessing you guys have.
Yes.
Nice.
We do. We are Disney Plus fans.
Nice.
Technology with all these apps is pretty cool. So you got these different movies at your fingertips. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. Favorite song, or is there a band you couldn't wait to introduce, or an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Favorite song. Wow. Gosh, you're stumping me on these. Yeah, anything that's uplifting, that's great lyrics, that's inspiring, has a good beat, clean lyrics, and, you know, it could be jazz, you know, it could be, you know, R&B, it could be gospel, contemporary Christian.
Nice.
Anything with good lyrics and an awesome beat, I'm into it. So my kids, you know, love it as well.
Nice. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
In Hawaii.
Cool.
Maui.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. And this might be tough because there's probably a lot of them, but maybe I'm guessing it's in the division. But was there a favorite team that you love to go up against? It might have changed each year, but, you know, whether it's the Seahawks, Cardinals, or Rams, you know, especially in that division, or maybe another team. But during that, of course, the Cowboys, the 90s was huge, like a big rivalry between the Cowboys and Niners. But for you, was there one team that you kind of, You probably geared up all the time for every team, but was there one you kind of circled more on the calendar than the others?
You know, any big game that was outside of our divisional games, like if it was Green Bay, if it was the Cowboys, any NFC game outside of our division was one. Of course, it was understood that the divisional opponents, you had to, you know, see them twice a year. You definitely look forward to them. There's some familiarity between, you know, the clubs.
Yeah.
But, you know, any NFC opponent outside of our division, I was looking forward to it.
Nice. Cool. And Lastly, what are the top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad?
Loving, full of life, and respectful.
Awesome. Very cool. People, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at BGreat. That's BGR, the number 8NT. Of course, put up links here as well. But Brian, it's been such an honor chat with you. I appreciate your honesty and your just the passion for fatherhood that you have. I know you're a busy guy, but I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day, and continued success in the future, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, Art.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.